The scripture reading this morning is taken from Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, so I don't know what the NIV's got, etc. But here we go. Romans 12, starting at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesying, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The Lord add a blessing to his word. Today is Pentecost. And we're just going to have a look at a few of these verses and see what the verses are saying to us concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. These verses are very important because Paul, having talked, or written, shall we say, 11 chapters of this letter to Romans, he starts this one off in saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What are these mercies? What's been going on beforehand? Well, if you read from chapter 1 to chapter 11, you'll find out all about the mercies. One of them is justification, which is including pardon and removal of sin from us. Another one is identification, because we are now identified with Christ. We're taken out of Adam by the death of Christ. We're dead to sin and to the law, but now we are in Christ. We're under grace. We're not under law. We have fruit unto God. Unto holiness is being made possible. And the Spirit is indwelling. There's no condemnation. We're free from the law and sin. And we are witnesses of sonship and heirship. We have help in infirmity. We have present help in our sufferings. And we're on the way to glory. Also, we have divine election. We have our final conformity to Christ's image. We are God's people. We are believers. And we have and already been glorified in Christ, in God's sight. And Paul says there's a glory coming. There's a beyond any comprehension of anything that we're going through at the moment. And there's no separation. We were talking about it with one of the choruses, weren't we? About our God. No separation possible. God loves us in Christ. And also, we're confident of God's faithfulness because of what he's going to do with Israel and what he's promised and what he's done through them. So that's some of the mercies of God. And because of these, Paul goes on and says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's because of these realities of the above mercies. They're all real. They're living. They're there for us. Because of them, we're to give ourselves wholly to God, to be his man or his woman. We need to make Jesus our Lord. And Paul just sums that up by saying, which is your reasonable service. Because of this, this is what you need to do. And the original language in the Greek means intelligent religious service. Because Christ has come, redeemed us, and is raised, and the Holy Spirit has been sent, we can intelligently learn and do what the Holy Spirit instructs us to do. And having started off in verse 1 like that, he goes on to verse 2 and he says, and be not conformed to this world. It's conformed has another meaning to it. You can use the word fashioned or schemed together with. And it's an action that is a command, but it's going on constantly. Is constantly, be not conformed to this world. And it's not world as the earth. It's to this age. It's referring to this present evil age, which Jesus has delivered those of us who believe in him. Just think of Ephesians 2:2, because it's showing us what we were before we believed in Christ. This present evil age, in which you walked once according to the age of this world. This age of this world order, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the children of disobedience. So he says, do not be schemed along together with this world. But he goes on and he says, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. The action here, in the light of what God has done for us, is a command. And it's continuous to keep on going, to present now. Keep on going. Be ye transformed. You weren't to be conformed to the image of this world, constantly doing that. Now it's constantly be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, it says. By the renewing of your mind. And this is what we're to do. To allow ourselves to be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit, revealing Jesus to us and changing the way that we think. And what is this transforming? It's the word metamorphosis, a changing from one state into another. And of course, the obvious illustration there is a caterpillar going into pupae and coming out as a butterfly. It's a complete change of state. It's renewing, the transforming of our mind, the renewing of our mind, that he will do it, that we can change. What's the purpose? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, isn't that wonderful to have? That you can let the Lord do that to you, to change the way that you think, that we might know what that acceptable and perfect will of God is. I like the New Living Translation here. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Isn't that wonderful? And then Paul goes on in the next few verses, in 3, 4 and 5, talking about our behaviour towards each other. And Paul says this, for I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has given to every man the measure of faith. For, or because of, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Then he goes on and he says this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and he lists the gifts, but let us remember it's the Spirit giving gifts, spiritual gifts. We do have natural gifts. Some people can really play the piano. Some people can be carpenters. You know, you've got natural gifts. But these are part of your life, your natural abilities. But they need to be surrendered to the Lord, that he can use them or not as he wants to. As I've shown before, if you take a digestive tea biscuit and break it in half, I put it together, it's very easy just to tap it and it breaks. That's what the Lord wants with your natural gifts, to use them or not to use them. But here he's saying, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, they are spiritually given. He says, whether prophecy, prophesy, but according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches, on teaching. He that exhorts, on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, with diligence. And he that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. These are all spiritual given abilities for the church, for church members. Paul saw it and knew it in the churches then. And then this, of course, brings into remembrance of what Paul taught to the Corinthians, where he says this in 1 Corinthians, isn't it? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And my question is, are we showing forth the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, that we can profit thereby? It's there for us. For he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another divers kinds of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. And that is the Holy Spirit dividing it. So, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? These are here, given by the Holy Spirit, for people within the church. And I know Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 there, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Follow love. Because chapter 13 is all about love. But we need love. But don't let's put love up really on a big pedestal and say, that's the thing, and forget everything else. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts. Do you desire spiritual gifts to profit and to be used within the church? So, what is your response to all that is said in these first 8 verses of chapter 12? Your own personal response. Because, let's remember what Peter said on that first day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people turned to the Lord. When they asked, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Even to those that are afar off, and believe on his name. Have you received the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is manifested, as promised, as exhibited? Or do you make a decision that's told us in Luke chapter 11 verse 13? Well, if you remember, Jesus talks about, how can a man, would a man give his child a stone instead of bread? Or something else as a scorpion? And Jesus says, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give to them the Holy Spirit that they ask for him? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And this is what Jesus said. So, these verses are things that happen. But the question is, your choice. You make the decision. And you seek the Lord. So, I leave it with you. Choose ye this day whom you will follow. as Joshua said, I'm following the Lord. What are you going to do? So, let's come and sing our closing hymn. Think about these verses. If you need to talk, come and talk to me afterwards. Others will help you with this. But